It's my pleasure this morning to introduce our pastor and our brother to be our speaker this morning, to be a tool to be used in the hands of God, that he might bring us the word which the Lord would have us to hear, that we might more fully do his will. And so it gives me pleasure to introduce our brother Bob this morning. Please keep him in your silent prayers and give him your kind attention. Our brother Bob.
Thank you, Brother Dude. Good morning. It's good to be here today. It's a beautiful day out. I'm glad that we can be together today. You know, as I was considering those some thoughts to bring this morning, I think all of us this week have been kind of, had our thoughts and prayers going out to those in Las Vegas who were suffering because of the acts of an evil man. It's really something, look back. It's just another, example of the problem of evil in the world, and hopefully, my hope for you is that when we see these things happen, we recognize them for what they are and use them as opportunities. That, in the last month there's been 3 hurricanes and a mass shooting or something like that. It's like, the Lord's trying to wake people up. And looking at that problem of evil and understanding that with, that's the source of that evil there in Las Vegas. Comes out of God's gift to us of free will. That man had the ability to choose to do that. And so when you're, talking to friends and acquaintances and they use that as an example, well, why didn't God stop that? It's because of our free will. Our freedom to choose how we're going to live our life. Our freedom to choose good or to choose evil. And not just our own, but for everyone has that choice. And God doesn't take that choice away. And there's others that suffer because of that choice. But it all comes down to that free will that he gave us because he wants us to love him. And that's the only way we can love him is if we have free will. But with that free will comes the possibility of rejection of him. And really, when you think about it, it's a powerful thing to have free will. It's a powerful thing to have choice. Everybody's looking at me like I'm not being heard. I think I'm on. I got a green light. Can you hear me now? Okay, now I'm seeing nodding. Very good. And so, really it strikes me as how powerful that thing called free will is. And truly what the choice that we each get to make. You think about it. We're not victims of happenstance. We're not victims of whatever occurs in the world. We have the ability to choose how we respond. We have the ability to choose how we're going to live our life. That's powerful. That's incredibly powerful to know that we have that freedom. And God loved us so much to give it to us. And so, really what I want to talk to you about this morning is He's given us that freedom. Now, what do we do with it? How can we make those choices that are the best? I want to start in Isaiah chapter 1. And Isaiah, you know, he lived in a difficult day. At the time, there was still the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, but the northern kingdom was rapidly going to be gone. He prophesied many things about what was going to happen. But just, you know, we think about our day and how different it is, and technologically it was certainly different. But in Isaiah's time, there was a lot of political upheaval. You know, most of the time, and not just in his neighborhood, in the world. Political assassinations and power, and that's the world that was commonplace. And most of the wealth was controlled by a very few people. The vast majority of the people lived in great poverty. Poverty beyond what we think of poverty here. People living in luxury while others are starving. Isaiah lived in a time when you got just as much justice as you could afford. Because if you could afford to bribe the judge, you could do anything you wanted. If you could hire a slick lawyer, you could do anything you wanted. It really kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? You know, in Isaiah's time, you know, there were a few that truly loved the Lord and endeavored to serve Him. But they were few in comparison. And they were splintered up here and there, I'm sure. The vast majority were, you know, worshipped idols of various kinds. They practiced witchcraft. They used drugs of the day, alcohol, fornication, human sacrifice, all those kind of things that were in existence. That's the day that Isaiah lived. And so I want to start here in the very first chapter of Isaiah. And this is the Lord speaking to His people. And I'm not going to start at the beginning, but I'm just going to jump down to verse 18. Here it says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." So here's Isaiah living in this time. It's in a lot of ways, human nature is human nature. It's the same, just different. In the day we live today, and here's the Lord speaking through Isaiah like He's speaking to us today, saying, here is the choice before you. You can be obedient or you can rebel. He offers forgiveness. You know, that if we turn to Him, as our sins will become white, be cleansed and be washed. But still, that choice is laid right on before the people here in Isaiah's time, and just the same as it is today. And so that's what I want to talk about today, is those choices that we have that are before us every day. And, you know, when he alludes to it right here in verse 19 and verses 20, but I also want to read it out of 2 Nephi chapter 1. And this is, you know, one of those verses that I find myself reading frequently because it's just so neat and clean and easy to understand. Chapter 1 of 2 Nephi, verses 1-17, says, because they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good and evil, to act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man, and they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. For he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. And once again, it's the power that God gives us to choose how we're going to live our life, how we react to the things that happen in our lives. We are free to choose. The options are right there between obedience and rebellion. That's the first big, I think, the overall big choice we always have. I'm going to talk about some other ones, but that the choice between believing what God says or not, choosing how we are going to live our life. I heard an example one time. If you can imagine a rope that's, you know, that goes from here all the way to my house. It's white rope. And then about this part of the end right here, we'll color that red. And really, that's what our life is. This little red spot is our entire lifespan. But the rope goes all the way to my house and beyond, because that's our eternal life. And so much of our time is focused on this little short section of red rope, as opposed to the entire length of the rope that goes forever on, going on for eternity. We don't worry about that. We worry about this little short section of rope. And it really messes with our perspective sometimes. I want to keep going. Talking about this choice between obedience and rebellion, I want to turn over to 3 Nephi, chapter 5. And I'm going to start with verse 66. This is Christ speaking, and he says, and behold, I have given unto you the law and the commandments of my Father, that ye shall believe in me, and that ye shall repent of your sins and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Behold, you have the commandments before you, and the law is fulfilled. Wherefore, come unto me, and be ye saved. For verily I say unto you, that except you shall keep my commandments, which I have commanded you at this time, ye can in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And here's this is Christ speaking. See, I've told you the things that to do. It's not confusing. It's clear. This is what you have to do to have eternal life. But with that in mind, I want you to turn over to 4 Nephi chapter 1. And this is a couple hundred years later, when after this period of peace and great joy, starting with verse 41, says, therefore, the true believers in Christ and the true worshipers of Christ, among whom were the three disciples of Jesus which should tarry, were called Nephites and Jacobites and Josephites and Zoramites. And it came to pass that they who rejected the gospel were called Lamanites and Lemuelites and Ishmaelites. And they did not dwindle in unbelief, but they did willfully rebel against the gospel of Christ. That's the choice we all have. It's not about, you know, getting lazy. It's about willfully rebelling, knowing what I'm supposed to do and deciding, yeah, I don't want to. You know, and it's not just the big things. When I think of willfully rebel, I think of just arching our back and just standing up and just going, no, I ain't going to do it. I'm rejecting Christ. But it's not quite like that. It's little things. The Lord commands us to tithe. Well, can't quite afford to do that this week or this month. That's our choice. That's the power of our choice. But is it rebelling against what Christ said? We have commandments to how to deal with offenses. Yeah, but I don't want to do it that way. Well, is that just rebelling against what Christ had told us? This is how you handle it. Going to each other in love. You know, it's these little things that can be just as rebellious as the big things. Not just the big things, it's the little things. Because the little things come from our heart just the same. I want to turn over to James chapter 4. Verse 17. It's one of those short and sweet verses that you can memorize and keep there in the back of your mind. It says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. When we know there's things we should do, when we know there's things we should change, and we decide not to, it's a sin. It says right there. And it's a choice that we make. When there's things that we know we're supposed to do, it's making a choice. And so, you know, I want to lay that out there, you know, before you. That's the freedom and the power that the Lord gave you and me to choose how we live our life. And that's between obedience and rebellion. But there's another similar choice I want to tie into that, and that's I want to turn over to 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to start with verse 3. It says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. And so this is that bridge between, this is how it's that obedience versus rebellion. But I want to keep going. It says, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And so, paralleling this choice between obedience and rebellion is this choice between darkness and light. That we have the things before us. I want to back up to 1 John 1st chapter and verse 5. It says, "This then is the message which ye have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If you say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." Once again, he's using this illustration between darkness and light about what we choose. How we choose to live our life. Focusing on the things of darkness or on the things of light. Things that are godly or things that are worldly. And it's not just the things we do, it's the things we think. Where the focus of our thought is. I want to turn over back to Luke chapter 11. Over there's 34. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. For thy whole body, therefore, if thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the light shining of a candle doth give thee light. This is Christ speaking, is talking about these spiritual things that are the light of God, the gospel, the light of joy, the light of happiness, the light of good. But when we allow the darkness of evil to allow, and you know, to become our focus, we allow that darkness in, and it quenches that light. But it's our choice. It's our choice. I want to turn over to 2 Nephi chapter 11. Second Nephi chapter 11, I'm just going to start with verse 75. It's kind of in the middle of a sentence, but it gets the thought. It says, "And they sell themselves for naught, for the reward of their pride and their foolishness they reap destruction. For because they yield unto the devil and choose works of darkness rather than light, therefore they must go down to hell. For the Spirit of the Lord will not always strive with man. And when the Spirit ceases to strive with men, then cometh speedy destruction, and this grieveth my soul." Here's Nephi, he's looking way in the future and seeing what's going to happen to his people. But this principle that we can choose the works of darkness, And that's what I want to give you, is an understanding of how much power you have in your freedom to choose. That you're not a victim of life. You have the freedom to choose how you're going to live it. Choose light or dark. The things you want to think about. I think, you know, the classic scripture that comes to my mind talking about, you know, the things we think about is in Philippians chapter 4. A familiar scripture that helps us keep that light within us. It says, this is verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. These are the things that we're supposed to think about. This is the light that we focus on, not the darkness. You know, this time of year, it's all about the darkness. It seems like you see the neighbors, you know, putting up their decorations for Halloween and stuff, and it just seems like it's such darkness. We have a choice to make. We have the freedom to choose. And so that's the, you know, another thing that we have before us, laid before us. Darkness or light. I also want to turn over to Psalms chapter 105 for another choice that's before us each and every day. Psalms chapter 105. Says verse 1, says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing songs unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." You know, we have a choice about being thankful or not, or being unthankful. Of being ungrateful for the things that He gives us, the blessings He provides. And, you know, I was looking through these Psalms, you know, 106 says, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." 107, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." Over and over again, and there's just a ton of scriptures about giving thanks. It's an attitude of our heart, of being thankful. Of telling everyone what He's done, to make known His deeds among the people. When He blesses us, we give Him the credit. We're not afraid. I want to turn to Mosiah chapter 1. I'll start with verse 51. It says, "And behold also, if I, whom ye call your king, who has spent his days in your service, and yet hath been in the service of God, doth merit any thanks from you, how had ye ought to thank your heavenly king? I say unto you, my brethren, that if ye should render all the thanks and praise which your whole soul hath power to possess to that God who hath created you, and hath kept and preserved you, and hath caused that ye should rejoice, and hath granted that ye should live in peace one with another. I say unto you that if you should serve Him who hath created you from the beginning, and art preserving you from day to day by lending you breath, that ye may live and move and do according to your own will, and even supporting you from one moment to another, I say if you could serve Him with all your whole souls, yet you would be unprofitable servants." Thankful we should be. And that's a choice. This last week I got to make two trips over to Denver. to take patients in an ambulance. The first one was trying not to make a HIPAA violation. I guess, you know, a 78-year-old man who was carrying tools out of his tool shed to his truck, and he tripped and fell. And when he fell, he hit the running board of his truck, and it popped his head back and broke his neck, and he was paralyzed from the waist down. At that moment, you know, he wasn't a real happy camper. The other patient was a 56-year-old lady who was riding an ATV out by Marble and lost control, went off the road and hit a tree and broke her back. And she was paralyzed from the waist down. But she was thankful. When you're sitting in the back of an ambulance for 4 hours, you get a chance to visit. And she was, it took them 5 hours. She laid there, because she couldn't move for 5 hours, thinking she was going to die. And, you know, eventually they were able to get her out, and she was going over to Denver for some specialized care. But, you know, she said, you know, I have a chance to say those things that I thought I wasn't going to get a chance to say to my kids. You know, I still have my arms. And, you know, and she was a very active woman who was never going to walk again. But she could still choose to be thankful for what she had. And to me, it was just an illustration of a choice that's laid right before all of us. We're all blessed in different ways. And we can be thankful for what we have, or we can be grumpy and miserable about the things that we wish we had. And that's the power of our choice. That's our ability to choose how we handle life, about how we view things. You know, just that attitude of thanksgiving. 2 Timothy talks about, in chapter 3, he talks about the last days, and he's talking about how people are just going to be ungrateful. And you can see it around everyone. But it's our choice about how we choose to live our life. The decisions that we make daily reflect whether we're thankful or whether we choose to be grateful or ungrateful. Those are the things. That's how it's reflected in our attitudes, the way we carry ourselves, the way we respond to adversity. I do want to turn to 1 Thessalonians, though, chapter 5. And this is, you know, in this chapter, it's the last chapter, and he's just kind of hitting these bullet points of different things that he wants to exhort the people to do. In verse 18, he says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." This doesn't say give thanks for the good things. In everything give thanks. Because the Lord is at work, and He's doing things, and He promises those blessings of life. And it's not just our outward conditions, because He's worried about our spiritual souls. But having that, you know, that choice is laid before us about how we respond in thanksgiving or in gratitude. I want to go back to Isaiah chapter 1. A couple more things that we have choices about. You know, earlier in chapter 1, he kind of lists out some of his complaints against them. And for brevity's sake, I'm just going to start with verse 10. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of the he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make your prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." You know, the Lord was laying it on the line. He says, "You're coming, you're doing this thing, but it's you don't mean it. It's just outward show." Isaiah 29 talks about how, you know, they worship with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And that's exactly what he's describing here. Their worship didn't change their behavior. And so their worship was empty. It was meaningless. And worse than that, it was an offense to God. In John chapter 4, you know, he talks about how the Lord wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth from our heart. And there's more to worship than just coming gathering together at appointed times. Like, okay, we're going to all get together Sunday morning. This is what we're going to worship. It's more than that. If your worship doesn't affect your whole life, it's not sincere. It's got to affect everything. It's got to affect work. It's got to affect school. It's got to affect friends. Otherwise, you're just going through the motions. It's insincere. It's a choice, though. When we come to church or how we live our life, it's a choice whether we come to worship or if we come to go through the motions. I want to turn over to Matthew chapter 25. Well, I'm going to go to Mosiah chapter 1. Back to Mosiah for another choice we have. Familiar scripture, I know. Verse 49 says, "Behold, I tell you these things that you may learn wisdom, that you may learn that when you're in the service of your fellow beings, you're only in the service of your God." And that's the choice we have. We're free to choose to serve others, or we're free to choose to serve ourselves. Whether we're going to focus on helping other people, looking for things that we can do, or we can focus on, what can people do for me? How can I be served? And to serve the Lord, we must choose to serve others. And what I want to leave with you is to remind you of the power that you have. Because you have the freedom to choose. You have the ability to choose obedience or rebellion, light or dark. You have the ability to choose to serve others or to serve yourself, to worship or to go through the motions, to be thankful or to be ungrateful. All those things are right before us because of God's giving of free will. I want to turn over to Joshua chapter 24. Most of you know where I'm going to read before I even get there. Chapter 24, verse 15, it says, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, this is the choice that every human being has to make. Nobody gets out of it. Everybody has to make this choice from the beginning of time. And God, in His wisdom, created you with the freedom to make that choice. It's in your hands. It's in your power to make that choice. The problem isn't the hearing of it. The problem is the doing of it. My prayer for each of us, myself included, is that we can make those choices that please the Lord, that show our love for Him. I thank you for your time.